iPhone, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melts the clouds of sin and sadness.
Thank you for joining us for this program from the 9th Avenue Church of Christ in Hayleville, Alabama. We hope that you will subscribe and will share our program with others. Now, we take you to the service of the 9th Avenue Church of Christ.
How many of you remember your graduation? How many of you, it feels like it was a long time ago? How many of you feels like it was a long time ago, but it feels like it wasn't that long ago all at the same time? Now, some of you are like, no, it was just a long time ago. Graduation is a very important time in our life. You know, one of the things that is very prominent when you look and read the old law, if you spend time and read through the book of Leviticus into the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy and read some of these stories, God found it very important for there to be moments that were celebrated, moments that were marked by celebration. And so the old law, the Jewish custom, and a lot of those customs in the Jewish world are still celebrated today, but there are just things and days that they just stop and they celebrate great moments. And we do that in our Christian culture as well, and in our American culture. We have holidays and different things, but there are just moments in our life that we just stop and we just realize that something great has been done, and we appreciate that accomplishment. If you think back over just the last 4 years, for our two seniors, 4 years, 520 lunches in the lunchroom. I don't know if you've eaten in the lunchroom every day for 520 meals, but 520 meals, 48 different classes, averaging about 3,640 hours spent in class over the last 4 years. So Jarrett's like, yes, I have spent that much time in class. That's a long time. But one graduation night, all of that comes to one moment. The moment of your graduation, and for those of us that have graduated, we understand this. That night is going to come with a lot of mixed emotion. This kind of time of year for seniors in general comes with a lot of mixed emotion, because you are excited to kind of wrap up this moment in your life and to have that celebration. But then also there is a familiarity with where you are. Knowing that I'm kind of grounded in this particular world, in this particular time, and in this particular moment. But as exciting as it is, there's probably some nerves looking ahead. But the next chapter will start with a simple step across a stage. And with that idea in mind, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22 through 33, where we read of maybe one of the most well-known first steps within the story of Jesus and his disciples. As we get into Matthew chapter 14, we kind of set the stage just a little bit. Jesus has heard that John the Baptist, his cousin, has been beheaded. And instead of trying to really get away to a solitary place, he is kind of in the middle of his ministry, and we see this great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, where he feeds this group of hungry people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and after he kind of gets through with that, then he sends his disciples away, and he sends everybody away, and he not just sends them away, but he sends them across the sea. Sends them across the Sea of Galilee. And if you remember back a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago at this point, we talked about how the storms just come up on this particular body of water. And it seems like this kind of happens in that moment. But Jesus is really in a vulnerable place right here. And so he spends some time by himself. Then we pick up kind of in this story, starting in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. I imagine that Jesus might be able to see the boat as they are in the middle of this storm. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Now, to me, that's a very natural response, right? Because how many people expected to see something just walking across the water? If you look in verse 25, there are some moments in Scripture where I feel like the sentence drastically underplays the moment. 25 is one of those. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Like, I feel like there should be more to that statement, because that's a very, like, only God can kind of do that thing at this moment. And then they see this happening, and their response is they are scared to death. How many of you would be scared to death in this moment as well? Most of us would probably be like, "Hey, what's going on?" But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Sometimes I think that's exactly what a ghost would say. "It's going to be okay. Don't be afraid. Just to see what happened." But no, this is what Jesus said. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." What happens next? If you know the story, we get to the good stuff. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Now, how many of you would have replied? How many of you this would have been your first thought? If you're in the boat, it's been a storm, you see what you think is a ghost coming across the water, and then Jesus, you hear his voice, "Hey, it's me, everything's going to be okay, don't be afraid." I've probably met a couple of people, but not many people, that would have jumped up and said, "Well, if it's really you, tell me to come out there to you." That's just not how we think. But Peter was different, y'all. Peter was different. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What a great story. What a great story. And really a story that only happened because Peter was not afraid to take the first step. He was not afraid to take the first step. So let's talk about some of the steps along the way this morning and think about it, especially in mind of graduation and these moments in our life. The first thing is this. This is maybe the thing that is talked about the most within the story. Let's get it out of the way and talk about it. Peter doubted Jesus. There is a point and a moment in this story that is maybe the biggest stumbling block of the whole story, that there is some doubt in Peter's mind. Even though he jumped up and said, "Hey, let's go do this. Hey, Jesus, I'm here. If it's you, call for me. I want to jump out and I'm going to walk to you." In the back of his mind, there was a seed of doubt. And the more difficult the moment got around him, the harder the wind blew, the greater the waves were, the more challenge that was right in front of his face, what happened to his faith in Jesus? It disappeared. Did Jesus change in the middle of this story? No. Did his ability to walk on water, Jesus, or even Peter, did Peter's ability, like, if as long as he was looking at Jesus, would his ability to walk on water have changed? No. It changed because he what? He doubted. He doubted Jesus. He doubted himself. He got into the middle of a situation and thought, "What have I done?" And that's what the guys on the boat are probably thinking from the beginning. "What are you doing?" And then he gets in the middle of the moment and he's like, "This moment is too big for me. I cannot do it. I'm scared to death." And that's a very real thing for us in our life, to be like, "Hey, I've got this." And then in the middle of it, we realize, "Hey, there's no way that I can solve this problem on my own," and we begin to doubt. And that leads to this next idea. Peter became anxious of his situation. It's not just that he doubted. He had that moment of doubt, and then that doubt led to what? It led to anxiety. He became overwhelmed by the things that were going on around him. And when we become anxious, we focus on, and you've heard me talk about this, we focus on one or two things that are out of place. One or two things that are out of, that's what the Greek word anxious really means. It means one thing not being where it is and it's causing conflict. And so Jesus is there. The focal point has not changed. And he's looking at it, and then he gets anxious, and he's focusing on the immediate. And that begins to make his doubt grow. It goes from doubt to anxiousness to fear. I'm afraid I'm going to drown. And when he gets to that point, what does he do? Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. What happens to us in our life when we take our eyes off of Jesus? What's the end result going to be? It's never going to be good, is it? It's never going to be the answer. Looking the other way from Jesus is never going to be the answer. Even though he was doubting, even though he was anxious, he didn't begin to sink until when? Until he looked away. And once he looked away, he began to sink. And the doubt in himself grew more and more and more. But that's not the only steps that Peter took. And I want us to talk about the positive steps. Because to me, I know I've heard it preached a lot of different ways in a lot of different places from a lot of different preachers, this particular text. But this actually, to me, is a story of great faith. It's a story of great opportunity that he took. Because our greatest faith moments, I truly believe, always have to involve a struggle. If I don't struggle, then I don't grow. If I'm not challenged, then I don't grow. If it's just easy, smooth sailing the whole way, I'm never going to appreciate the journey. I'm never going to be stretched. I'm never going to have to grow in myself and grow in my faith in God. It's just going to be easy. And that's not life. That's not our faith. We don't see God as our Savior unless we need to be what? Saved. And so, because of the negative steps, Peter finds himself in a place that he has to be saved. And that helps his faith grow. So the first thing I love to think about is that Peter stepped out of the boat to begin with. Like I said, show of hands, how many of you are even stepping out of the boat? Peter's a step ahead of all of us, right? Kevin's going to step out of the boat. Peter's a step ahead of all of us because he heard the voice of Jesus. He heard the voice of Jesus. He listened to the voice of Jesus, and he believed the voice of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Do not be afraid. It's going to be what? It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. They've already seen him calm the storm. So they already have this idea that he controls all this stuff. Now he's walking on the water. Hey, look, I can trust this guy. I hear him. I believe in him. Everything's going to be okay. So if everything's going to be okay, let me test my faith a little bit here. Let me take that next step. If I truly believe that everything's going to be okay, as long as I follow God, as long as I hear him, as long as I trust him, as long as I believe in him, as long as those things are there, there's going to come moments in my life where I'm going to have to step out of the boat. The comfortable place is in the boat. Growth happens outside of the boat. So he steps out of the boat. There's a great challenge there for all of us. In that, in our faith, we have to take risk. And risk may not be necessarily the right word right there. Because risk kind of carries the idea that there's a danger to that and that bad things could happen. And I guess there is a risk here if you step out of a boat. The risk is if you can't swim, you're going to drown. But the idea that I want us to carry with us is that we cannot stay in our comfort zone in our faith. We cannot stay in our comfort zone in our faith, because if we stay in our comfort, yes, Jesus would have ended up getting to the boat. Jesus would have ended up in the boat. They would have had a great moment in realizing that Jesus was God still, I believe, by watching him walk on the water. But he also proved that we can walk with Jesus if we get out of the boat, that we can go anywhere Jesus wants us to go. If we get out of the boat. Otherwise, we just stay in the... It's so easy to stay in the comfort of the pew. The comfort of the pew. And be like, hey, I've been to church. I've sung. I've taken communion. I've listened to the sermon. I went to class. I'm there three or four times a week. Like, but I'm comfortable. And you don't take that with you. You don't take it out of the building. You don't live that faith outside of these walls. You're not stepping really out anywhere. You're staying in that pew kind of comfort area all throughout the rest of your week until you come back. And then you get comfortable again. And then you go back and you come back and you get comfortable again. The challenge is we have to step out and we have to make decisions that look risky, that feel risky, but understand that God is right there. And he's going to make sure that we see the other side of that challenge. Here's the next thing. Peter continued to step on. He continued to step on. It doesn't tell us exactly how many steps Peter took or how far Jesus was from him. But I imagine that there's a pretty cool sensation when he steps out of the boat and he's on the water and he's just standing there. That's got to be a pretty cool sensation. And I don't know if I would imagine that as he was standing there, the water felt firm. That would be my guess. Because for us to stand on something, it has to feel what? Firm. So under his feet, I feel like it was probably a firm feeling. But also maybe that with that firm feeling, there's also the up and down of the water, right? So he's there, but he's kind of getting his footing, kind of, you know, bending his knees, making sure he's stable. And that had to be a pretty cool feeling. I got out of the boat. I'm stable. Now, for those of us that might actually get that far, the big fear is in the what? I'm stable right here, but if I take the next step, am I going to be stable right there? Because, hey, I've taken that first step out of my comfort zone. Okay, yeah, here I am. I'm out of my comfort zone. Comfort zone's right there behind me. Everything's great. I'm just going to be comfortable right here. We do that sometimes. We go, look, I stepped out of my comfort zone. So one of the biggest challenges in church growth that I've seen in my time in ministry is when you reach that first kind of mountaintop as a church. And I've experienced this once before, and it was a really challenging thing for me as a minister that when I was in Arkansas, we grew and kind of hit that first kind of mountaintop experience of growth. And everybody goes, oh, wow, we grew. This is great. And the focus was on we grew, not we're going to continue to grow. Because we had to step out of our comfort zone to get to that first spot of kind of mountaintop growth. But to continue to grow, we had to continue what? Stepping. We had to continue moving. But it's so easy. I've taken that first step. I'm out of the boat. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm going to stay right here because that next step might get me. But Peter went on and he took the next step. And he took the next step and the next step. And that's our challenge. The challenge is that life is going to be full of distractions. Life is going to be full of anxious situations. And it's going to be so easy to just, okay, I'm going to make the first effort, but then I'm going to stop. But the true blessings come the more steps we take. We can be blessed in that first step, but we are more blessed the more steps that we take in our life. Here's the third thing. Peter saw his need for a Savior. Peter saw his need for a Savior. Peter saw him. He heard him. He believed it was Jesus. He trusted him. He got out. But I don't believe he understood the need of Jesus until he began to what? Until he began to sink. And it's easy for us to take those first steps, second, third step, fourth step, and be like, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm walking on water. And Peter could have turned around and goes, hey guys, I'm walking on water. And would that have been true? Absolutely. But why was he able to walk on water? Because of who? Jesus. And I think Peter probably really came to that understanding and realization when he finally couldn't what? Walk on water. When he couldn't walk on water, who did he finally decide he really needed? His Savior. That's what I mean by challenges. We don't understand sometimes the growth that comes in the challenge. We hate the challenge. We hate the moment of difficulty. We hate the moment where we feel so vulnerable, where we feel so exposed, where we feel like I'm so alone. We hate those moments in our life, and we don't ask for those moments. We don't go looking for those moments. Those moments just plop down in the middle of our life one day and disrupt everything. But in those moments, we understand, I can't do this. I'm not capable of doing this. And it's in those moments that we can find the most intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, when we are sinking and we look up at Him and we say, save me. I need you. I've got to have you. Peter was walking on the water one minute, drowning the next. We do that in life. But in the drowning, he realized, I need my Savior to save me. And Jesus was what? He was right there. Jesus was right there. And when we call out to our Savior, when we call out to Jesus, when we call out to God, when we call out to the Holy Spirit, guess what they're going to do? They're going to be there. They're going to reach their hand out and they're going to say, grab on, hold on, I've got you. And then we see the end of the story, which I love so much. He went from walking alone to walking with who? Walking with God. I'm going to imagine that walking on water by myself is a cool story to tell. You know what's even better? Hey guys, y'all remember that time I walked on the water with Jesus? Any of you, did that happen with any of you? Oh no, y'all stayed in the boat. But guess what I got to do? I got to walk on the water with Jesus. Walking on water would be cool by itself. Walking on it in the company of Jesus is so much better. Here's the thing that I want you all to realize this morning. It's great to walk toward Jesus. It's great to call out to Jesus. But we have to stay with Him. We have to be willing that once Jesus reaches out His hand and says, hey, here, I've got you, we've got to grab it. And not just let Him pull me up out of the water and go, hey, thanks, Jesus, I appreciate you, and try to walk on by ourselves. We then have to what? Make the decision to walk hand in hand with Jesus the rest of the way that Jesus is going. Listen, one of the things to this generation of graduates, the next generation, one of the things that you're going to learn is that so many people, so many things are going to want you to follow them from this day forth. So many things are going to fight for your attention. So many things are going to fight and ask for your dedication. So many things are going to seem so pressing and bigger than the most important thing. But true success in life comes when you decide I'm truly going to walk with God. Not just walk toward God, not just call out to God, but when I decide I'm going to walk with God. That's where success lies. It may not be monetary success. It may not be earthly success at all. But spiritual success. I was having a conversation with a guy on Tuesday, and he's really kind of struggling with where he is in his faith, the decisions that he's made. And the statement he made to me, he said, Matthew, if I get this wrong, nothing else matters. And there is not a truer statement. If you don't get this right, if you don't get the walk, the relationship, the conversations, the salvation, if you don't get that right, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter the amount of money in the bank account. It doesn't matter the degrees hanging on the wall. All the accolades, they don't matter if you don't walk with God along the way. If we're walking with God and we're focusing on Him, God's going to bless us in the things that we endeavor to do. I truly believe that, especially if we use those things to bring honor and glory to Him. Timothy talks about that at the very end of his book. If you've been in our class Wednesday night, that's where we finished. That God doesn't say that it's wrong to have. He's saying, as I bless you with these things, use those things to bless other people. But walk with me. Hold my hand all the way home. It starts with a step. The step that's taken on graduation night is the first step of many that's going to lead you into the direction of your life to make a lot of different decisions. But the biggest question is, Will that step bring you closer to God, or will it be your first step further away? We have to make that decision in our life. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that this week that we've had people say, I need to make the step closer to God. And we've had these great moments of baptism with family members and with spouses. And it's just been such an uplifting end of the week to get to experience those things. But the question then comes to you as an individual. What steps are you taking? Where are you in this journey? Where are you in this journey? And are your steps bringing you closer to Jesus every day, or are they bringing you further away? You have to figure that out yourself and correct that path if it's going in the wrong direction. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our invitation. God, we thank you so much for a chance to be here today. We thank you for this time of year, this time of graduation that we celebrate with so many different people. And we're grateful for Tiffany and Jarrett, God, as they are finishing up their time in high school and getting ready to move on to that next phase of adult life. And we just pray that everything that they've learned while they've been in the walls of this building and have been in the care of our church family, God, we pray that it will always stay in their hearts and that they will lean into it and continue to grow in the foundation that we've tried to give them as they move on to the next chapter. God, we pray for anyone in the room today that's struggling with the steps that they are taking or are struggling with the challenges that are in front of them. God, help us all to realize that we need you as our Savior, that you're always there when we call. Help us as we face those challenging moments to not be overwhelmed, but to find the peace that surpasses all understanding and that only comes through you. We're so grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for his sacrifice, his selflessness, to step down out of the throne room and to become like us and to just live this life. We thank you that we have a Savior that understands what it is to struggle, to be faced with temptation, God. We thank you that he overcame those temptations and lived a pure life, a sinless life, and gave himself for our sins. Help us to remember that and to live in that every day. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed.
Thank you again for joining us, and please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or our podcast. We can be found on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast provider. Also, leave us a 5-star review, which will greatly assist in getting the message of God's love and salvation to others. You can also follow us on Facebook.
Lift us to the joy divine.
Instagram.
Mortals join the mighty chorus, which
and Twitter.
The morning stars began. For the love.
Be sure to join us again. And until then, remember to love like Jesus.
Man to man, ever sing.